We're going to start with the Leafs, and we're going to open the phone line shortly, get your thoughts on the Leafs and what they did this week and what they did not do this week. What'd you think of the Kessel deal? And this is finally going to be a true rebuild. Gord Stellick joins us now, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Leafs pre- and post-game host. Gord, always great to chat with you. Phil Kessel era in Toronto ends. But you know, I think, Gord, I think what is ended is the Leafs even pretending that they're not going to be a team that's kind of in at least a, not even a partial, but mostly a complete rebuild. Do you see it that way?
I'm trying to find you on Twiddle. No luck. No luck so far. Anyway, Raj, good to be with you. And I like your tirade before I end. Don't worry, I say lots of Twiddle type words as well. But, you know, I did. We did the morning show. Matthew Barnaby was in for Ozzy and leading up to the free agent period. And it's great because there's some free agent signings, but the trades. And we've seen Dougie Hamilton. And then, you know, we saw the other ones that went kind of surprises, and Brandon saw it. And Phil Kessel, to me, was a little, I got to admit, I was a little bit surprised that it happened on that day. But as you say, you've got to be fish or fowl. You can't be a mixture of the two. And it's like Edmonton made bold statements. Craig McTavish did, 4 years ago about bold moves. And he did Bo Diddley. Peter Chiarelli did more there in a month than he did in 3 or 4 years. And so I give the Leaf management group credit about that. It's a bit of a gulp factor because that's the guy Brian Burke wanted to build around. But if you're going to do it, you've got to move guys like him. And, you know, he could get 40 plus goals in Pittsburgh, but that's not our problem in Toronto. Or that's not our worry in Toronto. The biggest thing, the next step, Roger, is these prospects. And this is where your new pro scouting and amateur scouting comes into play. We don't want another Luca Caputi type that we got from Pittsburgh a few years ago for Ponikarovsky, you know, a guy that couldn't play at any level at the NHL. So, you know, twofold. One, it does mean the rebuild, and the other one is what exactly do we get back ultimately in return?
Well, and, you know, as far as the full rebuild goes, Gord, and you can tell the age of some people, frankly, I don't mean this in an insulting manner, the way they make comments, because I had said, well, I'll give them, when the trade was made, my comment on Twiddle, or Twitter if you prefer, was basically, well, hey, give them credit. At least they're first time really going to do a legitimate rebuild. To which I get the snarky reply from people who are, I'm going to say, 25 and younger. What do you call the 1980s? What I call the 1980s is, you know, a bad hockey team. And the time, Gord, you were there. And for heaven's sakes, all of us who surrounded it, the rebuilding, stockpiling picks, not panicking, getting a 35-year-old free agent at the deadline, going with younger players, not panicking when things go down. This is something new. But the ultimate question is, you can do it in July, I suppose. Well, they did. They just did in July. You trade nothing but draft picks and prospects for a 35-goal scorer in the National Hockey League. That's a rebuild. But can they do it if they start the year 3-10 and we all start moaning again, Gord?
A couple of years ago, Brian Burke was still there, and I can remember they talked about there was no way Nazem Kadri would be back up. They did that far too often coming up from the Toronto Marlies, and they were on a two-game trip in Florida, and I don't know what order it was, whether Tampa first or Florida first and the other team second, and they had a terrible game, and Nazem Kadri's called up yet again, and you're right about it. It's really hard to stay the course. You also have to have a course, and that's why, you know, Raj, I don't but when people talk like, okay, they're going to do a rebuild, kind of, we're going to do it right, and you kind of go, well, wait a sec. You know, you're kind of insulting Leaf fans that haven't seen a playoff team for, 11 out of 12 years, and you're trying to say, no, that wasn't a rebuild. That was just languishing. I mean, what were they attempting to do? I mean, so fans had been hopeful of a rebuild for many of those years. Paul Maurice said it was the most talented team he had 1 year. I think he basically had to try to get them to buy into that to some degree. So I want to see what they can do with this. And this is a big rebuild step. This is a really big rebuild step. And then the other part is the rebuild is not just this year, obviously, but adding 2 third-round picks. When they moved down twice, they got 2 third-round picks basically as a bonus. And then what did Mark Hunter and his staff able to make better hits as far as guys having a chance to make to the NHL than the Leafs have done in that round in particular the last, you know, 15 years?
Gord Stellick is with us. Roger Lajoie, Sportsnet Tonight. Your calls are welcome. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Send a tweet to @TheRaj590 if you like, @TheRaj590, or email the show, Roger, @Sportsnet. 590.ca as we continue our conversation with Gord Stellick. What'd you think of the Phil Kessel trade? Do you believe this team is going to do a legitimate rebuild, i.e. continue to build with young players and prospects regardless of what happens? My focused discussion, the word rebuild in my mind, has not been defined or used properly. Teams that are constantly losing are not necessarily rebuilding. They're just constantly losing. And the Leafs have panicked and brought in the 30-year-old free agents and been good enough to finish eighth or ninth. And yes, nine of the last 10 years they've missed the playoffs, but there has been no rebuild, in my mind at least, in the last decade in Toronto. I'd like to hear from you, legitimate rebuild. And I don't know, and Gord, here's the question that everybody, you know, if you do it that way, how long does it take? And that's a great question. The Edmonton Oilers were still waiting on success. Chicago was a long process, but was expedited by, you know, Kane and Taves, just marvelous luck in the draft. Pittsburgh had Crosby and Malkin. So maybe McDavid makes it quicker in Edmonton, but if you don't have a top two or three or one, two or three pick, how long should it take?
Well, Detroit hasn't had a top pick for a lot of years, you know, and neither has Chicago. So, you know, getting there and then staying on top of there, you know, you show you can do that. And I mean, I think Calgary showed it last year. Now, granted, Colorado and Dallas were teams that really slid, so that helped the Calgary Flames in that respect. And maybe there'll be a team that could slide back this year. I don't like giving year totals anymore. I don't like just saying it'll be 4 or 5 years. Maybe it will, and if you're doing it right, I'm okay with that. But, you know, with guys being free agents after 6 or 7 years, what's the point of just saying that when guys could leave town if they want to? It's one thing years ago when you held the guys' rights, rightly or wrongly, till age 31 or 33 or even older, that you could talk in those kind of terms. So I don't know whatever the term may be. I don't think it'll be a quick fix for sure, but you still, you know, you have guys like James Van Riemsdyk and Joffrey Lupo that are, you know, should be in the prime of their careers that are making, you know, decent coin. You've got a Nazem Kadri that's supposedly ready to burst on the scenes. What can he be? What is a Tyler Bozak? These odd guys, could some or all of them could be traded as well. I understand that. So the problem is they're still not going to go down to get, I don't think they'll finish any worse than fourth overall again, nor should they be. So this was your one crack to kind of go that deep. And now you incrementally got to move up and just, you know, make more right moves than wrong moves.
Well, and you know, that's 100% correct. And here's the thing too, Gord, even if you do try to answer that question, I agree with you. I don't put a year thing on it too. I think there's two factors that affect it. I think the NHL is a much younger league now, so you may be able to do it quicker because younger players seem to be making more of an impact. So I think that's one thing. And then you have to ask yourself probably an even tougher question, just how good of a hockey team do you have right now? And that sometimes isn't really relevant in the standings. Things can happen, injuries, whatever, you know, where you move up. How good is your nucleus now? And I think that's another question the Leaf brass is asking. And I think by trading Kessel and making the moves they are and looking to jettison off even more players, if the scuttlebutt can be true, they obviously aren't all that impressed with what they have right now.
Yeah, you know, Roger, I think probably of the 30 teams, the Leafs may be the hardest one to figure out given the kind of season they had last year. And it was a season that was Brendan Shanahan and company's first. So, you know, they were looking to evaluate and watch things. And this is a team that was in the playoffs on December 31st, was the highest scoring team in the NHL, and then had their lowest scoring month in modern day history in January, as far as it went. And as I mentioned, it just seemed like supply teachers were running at the last third of the season. It was just unbelievable to go from, I'm going to say that height, but, you know, being in a playoff spot to that abysmal play yet again. So I don't know what, you know, we got to find out where exactly are they between being, you know, as good as we thought they were when they were on that 12-game or 13-game winning streak or unbeaten streak, or the team that just languished and seemingly gave up down the stretch. So somewhere they're in between that. I hope it's more the team we saw the first half of the season. That doesn't mean I'm discounting saying you don't have to rebuild and make changes, but I hope there's a little bit more of that in this team over 82 games.
Well, you know, Gord, that's so true. And I guess another factor when you do look at it too is by comparison, i.e. some years, you know, you can catch lightning in a jar, so to speak. The rest of the league isn't that good. There may be a window of opportunity to move up. Sometimes a conference is not that good, so maybe it's easier to move up. And that's where the temptation to try to do something quickly kind of supersedes it as well. What do you think is next for this team? That's a hard one to try to ascertain. I mean, Phaneuf is the next big contract, but, you know, there's other players, Joffrey Lupul, there's other things you can do. And I guess another wild card in this, Gord, which makes this season going to be fascinating, is how many wins is a coach like Mike Babcock going to get you just because he's Mike Babcock?
Well, you got the coach, then you got to figure out the goaltender. And I'm not saying, obviously, Jonathan Bernier is your guy. And, you know, there's teams that rise just solely based on excellent goaltending. We'll have to see if he can do that on a consistent basis or not. I've sort of thought that Dion Phaneuf, just because he was the captain and just that it's time and he was ready to go at the trade deadline, he's really tried hard to be a good captain. I mean, he really has. And he thought he was going to Detroit at the trade deadline. Didn't happen. So I think they're prepared that a move's going to be made there. I just think your number one center, Tyler Bozak, that it's just not working there. You've drafted a lot of young centers now, and you should move him while there's something there, because that's too big a contract for what he's contributed the last 2 years.
I would agree with you, and we'll see if that does. And finally, Gord, you know, when we look at this team, one thing that bringing Mike Babcock in is does create a new level of excitement among the fan base, which is an important thing. And I got to believe, too, you know, when you talk about seeing what you've got, let's say nothing major happens before the start of the season, at least a guy like Mike Babcock, all his years in the NHL, and because of the length and the monstrous amount of money they're paying, there won't be any pressure on him to have to do something right away, that's for sure.
You know, it's funny. I'm trying to remember comparable situations, and really, Cliff Fletcher and Pat Burns coming in back-to-back years back in 91-92, and also it was the end of the Harold Ballard era, so I think that was a lot of it as well. And then you'd have to have Brian Burke a few years ago, and now Mike Babcock, that, you know, guys coming in with that wow factor. And that certainly buys you a year anyway. I mean, their credibility and well-earned credibility buys you a year that he's going to do it the right way. And, you know, he's not just a guy that's done it for the Detroit Red Wings. If you're a Maple Leaf fan, at least you got to have some satisfaction watching him coach Team Canada on a couple of occasions. So you can't just do things that are big. Like, Phil Kessel's a big trade, but that's not a big trade in your favor for prospects now. So being able to go get Mike Babcock, who knows what it means on the ice or not, but certainly these fans needed something, and he filled that void.
Quickly, Gord, I wish Phil Kessel a lot of luck in Pittsburgh, and I tell you what, I think it's a great fit for him. I think of a lot of the teams he could have went to, I think that's a great one. They have Crosby, they have Malkin, they have other guys who can take the pressure away. He can do his thing. He can be a Phil Kessel. You know what? I think good things might be ahead for him.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the guy probably in a lot of ways was an underrated, undervalued player in Toronto. He was durable. He went out and until this past season got you 30-plus goals, got you whatever it was, number of points that kept him in the top 10. I mean, that's what he did. It just is when things get screwed up, and then you've got leadership situations and you've got toxic leadership situations and whatever it may be, that's what happens. He can just go and play. And I really think that's all he wanted to do at the end of the day. And I agree. I think Pittsburgh was very astute, having a couple of disappointments. And Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin are two guys they want to keep happy. And you're looking for new wingers to do that. And this is the right kind of guy.
Gord Stellick joining us, Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Leafs pre- and post-game host, to give us his insight on the Phil Kessel era in Toronto and the offseason moves already of the Leafs. Gord, always great to chat hockey with you anytime. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Raj.
It's Gord Stellick.